Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And now we move to Gaza and the latest aid corridor. A temporary floating pier has been anchored to a beach just south of Gaza City, with lorries carrying humanitarian assistance expected to begin moving ashore in the coming days. And this comes as Israel confirmed this week that five of its troops were killed by friendly fire during fighting. And a rift has emerged inside the country's war cabinet on how the Palestinian territory should be ruled in the future. Well, for more on all of that, I'm joined now by Alistair Bunkle, who is Sky News Middle East correspondent. Alistair, thank you for taking our call today. This new aid corridor, we're hearing a lot about it in the last couple of days. How soon is it expected to be up and running?
Well, the first trucks passed down it in the early hours of this morning, around breakfast time this morning. So it is up and running, but it's not running at full capacity yet. And I suspect it will take a couple of days to reach that state, all being well, because there's some considerable security concerns, of course. But it's been delayed, but it's there now, and it is starting to receive the aid, and it will make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, the aid agencies have expressed concerns about how this is going to be run and how that aid and the aid workers are going to be kept safe.
They have, but this has been done in conjunction with the Americans, with the Israelis, and with the United Nations. So I think there would probably be some hope that, in particular, with the American involvement in this, will help ensure that it runs smoothly. The problem is that once the aid effectively leaves this kind of beachside hub and then goes into Gaza itself, well, then you do have problems about the security and the safety of it. But you know, it's just going to have to be one of those situations where we watch it closely and see what happens. But assuming that it does work well, 150 trucks a day using 150 truckloads of aid coming in every single day. That's a lot. I mean, Gaza needs in excess of 500, but this is supposed to complement the land crossings and the airdrops.
Mm-hmm.
Not complement.
But it does sound as though, Alistair, it may be, once it leaves the protection of the port area, it may be difficult to distribute that aid given conditions in Gaza at the moment. Also, there's an issue around access to fuel and so on, allowing for that aid to be transported onwards.
So the distribution first is always complex. We have seen situations where aid convoys have been fired on by the Israelis, particularly World Central Kitchen being the most infamous case in point, but also people, whether it's Hamas or desperate Gazans, looting aid convoys. Now on that point, the aid agencies will say the more aid you can get in, the more you can lower the humanitarian crisis, and then you can improve the security situation. As for Rafah, that is a real problem, because not only was it a major crossing point for aid, but also it was where all the fuel came into Gaza. And if you cannot get fuel into Gaza, then things will start to shut down pretty quickly, whether it's hospitals, whether it's food stations, what have you. Life will start to become very hard again.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about this decision made by the Israeli Defence Minister Yoav Gallant to go on television to criticise Benjamin Netanyahu? And we know that there have been divisions in the war cabinet, but this takes it to another level, does it not?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it puts into the open, it puts into public what we kind of knew anyway, and that is that Gallant and Netanyahu, both from the same political party, Likud, they don't get on. Back in March 2023, seems like a long time ago now, Gallant came out actually on television and criticised the judicial reforms. Netanyahu sacked him within minutes. There were hundreds of thousands of people protesting on the streets of Israel, and he was quietly reinstated. This time round, I don't think he's going to be sacked. Netanyahu can't afford to do that. But it is clear that there is divisions, major divisions, not just within the war cabinet, but within Netanyahu's own party itself. And what Gallant was saying is that you need to put a plan in place for what happens the day after in Gaza. And the reason he's saying it is because, as defense minister, he sees that his troops, IDF forces, are having to go back into parts of northern Gaza that they had cleared many months ago, and they're now going back there because Hamas have returned.
So Is there any suggested solution to that problem as Yoav Gallant sees it?
Gallant didn't lay out a solution. He stopped short of saying it should be the Palestinian Authority or some sort of form of that taking control in Gaza. And there are a lot of people who have lots of different opinions about what should happen, whether or not it should be a multinational force in the first instance, how much involvement Arab states would have, what role for the Palestinian Authority, all these kind of questions. Nobody's come up with a decent answer. But Gallant's point is that if you don't have, or if you're not working towards a political strategy, then two things happen. You don't put pressure on Hamas because Hamas remain the only political and military force in Gaza, and that's what allows them to keep having control over parts of Gaza. And secondly, you're basically moving towards an Israeli military occupation of Gaza, which is what the right wing of Netanyahu's government want. That is what Gallant is warning against. Mm-hmm.
Now, we did hear earlier on in the week on this programme about the five Israeli soldiers who were killed in that friendly fire incident, as it was called. But more details have been emerging, Alistair, around what happened.
Yeah, so they were part of the paratrooper brigade. They were in sort of the outskirts of Jabalia, which is a major refugee camp in northern Gaza. They were mistaken by a tank crew for being Hamas fighters. The tank crew fired twice on them, killing five, seriously injuring seven. So the number of Israeli soldiers killed in and around Gaza since the war began is now 279, I think off the top of my head, of which around 50 of those have come out from friendly fire incidents or operational incidences, as they're described as, which is a very, very high ratio. It's almost one in five. And I think that, you know, speaks and tells you a lot about the conditions that the soldiers are fighting in, but also, you know, the reliance on reservists in Gaza. And with the best will in the world, the reservists do not always have the same level of training as the regular forces.
Mm-hmm. And again, this comes back to not having a plan, this criticism that came from the defence minister, because this happened in one of those areas where there has been, according to the Israelis, a Hamas resurgence.
Exactly. I think it was 3 months ago that the Israelis declared operational control over these parts of northern Gaza. Effectively, they declared that they destroyed the Hamas battalions in this part of Gaza. And yet, 3 months on, they find themselves back there in heavy fighting in Jabalia and elsewhere. And you can only guess the morale and the opinion of these soldiers who would have thought, well, we've done that work there. We'd been through. We thought we'd dismantled Hamas. And now, a few months later, we're back again, risking our lives. And so it's no surprise that there is a bit of growing frustration and disquiet within military ranks themselves over what the politicians are doing or actually aren't doing.
Alistair, my thanks to you for joining us once again. Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent.